Good morning, Cornerstone. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving? Yes, got some yeses. Not a lot of yeses. I need a slide. Next slide. So we're going to sing a song called Come Thou Fount, Come Thou King. It's really, really old. It's been around for a long time. So I want to just kind of bring you up to speed. This is the fount of every blessing. God is the fountain of every blessing that we have. And I don't know how your Thanksgiving was. Hopefully you had a good one, but we all have human people in our families. And so not everything is awesome when you bring everybody together. I get that. So I want to remind you of the deeper blessings that are ours. And here they are from Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And this song kind of highlights some of those. Like in the first verse, it says, streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. So we're thinking about the mercy of God that's on you that never ends, and that calls us to sing loudly. So that's just a little hint. We're going to sing loudly, right, about these blessings. The second verse, he says, I was bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Is that good news? Is that cause to praise? And then the last verse, it's kind of real. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And as we wander away, he never leaves us, right? He kind of chases after us, follows after us. And we are just so blessed by God in all of our humanity, all of our imperfectness. He is the fountain of every blessing. So let's rise and sing this loudly. Let's sing about the blessings that God has given us. Thank you. God is faithful. He's a fountain of every blessing. Did anybody here have the perfect Thanksgiving? Like, ideal. Everything was amazing, perfectly awesome. We got one. We got two, three. All right. Anybody have, like, real family stuff going? You don't have to come up and tell us about family drama, but, like, not every day on this earth is perfect, right? And so this next song is kind of like, it's just reminding us of our longing and what we long for. When things aren't right, our heart is longing for something. And we're going to sing about that thing that we're longing for. We are longing for the presence of God. We're longing for all things to be restored the way it's supposed to be. So let's kind of long for that together. And you might think about some of the reality of your situation that's not perfect as we long for what will be perfect one day in His presence. How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with Him for all eternity.
Yeah.
God, we just joined the angels who are constantly singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." God, for the privilege of coming into your presence, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. You are worthy. You're the only one worthy of our praise. And we want to give it to you today. So, Lord, we give you ourselves, and I pray that today would be a blessing and encouragement to everybody here. God, strengthen our spirit. You know what we need. You know what each person needs. So thank you for your presence, your care, that you know what we need too, and you're here. So, Lord, we invite you to do work in each person here, and just use this time. Thank you for this Thanksgiving weekend and the time we're giving to you right now. God, use it for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before you sit down, we got a question of the day. What's your favorite amusement park ride? Favorite amusement park ride? Kids third grade and under, you can tell your favorite ride too, but you guys get to go downstairs to your classes, and everybody else, what's your favorite amusement park ride? Share that with somebody near you. All right, all right, all right. Anybody want to share their favorite amusement park ride? Bumper cars, yes. Come on. You got to pick who's in those bumper cars, right? I want to go. Ah, come on. I got you. Anybody else? What's that? Talon. I do love Talon. My feet are going to hit every time. I got to lift them up. Steel Force. Yes. Oh, I don't have a clicker. Does anybody have a clicker for me? Whoop. Here comes the clicker. Hey, live stream. All right. Yeah, Steel Force is one of my favorites. That's one. I love that section right there. Towards the end, it's just kind of, you just lose, you know, whatever. What do you, weightlessness? You got weightlessness multiple times. But my top favorite ride is the Stratosphere at Knoebels. Stratosphere, it's not a lot of people's favorites. It's part of why I like it. I don't have to wait in line, but it just takes you 147 feet up, holds you dangling there for a few seconds, and just drops you like a rock. 47 miles an hour. I thought it was like 100, but they said it's 47 miles an hour. I love the feeling of my gut rising up into my throat. Does anybody else like that?
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of no's. Okay, all right, we don't relate. Well, it goes back to my childhood. It's my parents' fault. It's my dad's fault. Because one of the roads that we drove in back in Vermont had this hill and a dip, kind of like it's on by Onalani. There's a road, a back road by Onalani, has a couple of those.
I know that exactly.
That takes me back to Vermont. We had one of those, and my dad would speed up. My mom hated it, but my dad would speed up so we'd get that feeling. And one time, my mom was not in the car, and he got going fast enough that the front wheels actually chirped. Like, it was coming up off the ground. I don't know how my dad felt about that, but I loved it. It was awesome. So the school bus, the back of the school bus, that dip was amazing, amazing. Loved it. So I will ride the Stratosphere over and over again, and I've done that. I remember an elderly Asian man just sitting there on the bench watching me go up and down and up and down, up and down. He's just watching. So why are we talking about amusement parks at church? If you know me at all, you're probably not surprised. And you also know it's probably not random, right? There's a reason. Well, it's not random. In Genesis chapter 21, where we're going to be today, we're going to see another part of Abraham's story where God's faithfulness in his life feels maybe a little bit like a roller coaster. God's faithfulness feels like a roller coaster. So before we dig into it, why don't you go ahead and process that idea a little bit with somebody near you. How is God's faithfulness in our lives like a roller coaster? From what you understand, your walk with God, just share your thoughts about that just for a few seconds before we get into the passage. Go. Y'all have no idea, right? Like, what? Thank you. So how many of you have been walking with God long enough to know that God's faithfulness sometimes feels like a roller coaster? Yeah, yeah, a lot of you. I think it's a lot like a roller coaster. God's faithfulness in our lives has some stomach-flipping corkscrews that hit us unexpectedly. Just things happen not the way that we expect them to. Life with God is not this smooth ride down the highway. It's not. And it's not always the same. There's a lot of variety. You don't know what's around that next corner. Could be a drop, could be a climb, could be a flip. You don't know. But the rails are secure, right? If you're on that coaster and God, this is God's coaster he's got you on, you are secure. It might be scary, but as a child of God, it's not going off the tracks. You are secure on that coaster. Even though it feels dangerous, out of control sometimes, it's not. Not with God. Not if you're his and he's yours. And in the end, that coaster is going to bring you safely home. Right? Let's pray. No, I'm just kidding. We're just getting into it. Genesis 23 there's three sections in this chapter. And I was like, okay, do we break it up? Do we cover the whole thing? We're actually going to cover the whole thing. We're going to cover the whole thing today. I think we can do it. And we're going to find some really good stuff in this chapter, but right in the middle, there's a serious corkscrew loop-de-loop. That's right in the middle, the second section. So as we kind of open up Genesis 21, let's kind of strap in and ride this chapter from the beginning to the end. Can we do that? And we're going to look at it one section at a time. And for each section, we're going to ask three questions. And you might want to grab a hold of these questions. They're good for any kind of Bible study. What do we learn about God? How can we see God's faithfulness here? And how does this relate to life today? Each of the three sections, we're going to look at those three questions. And I think we can do it in less than 2 hours. Okay. So grab onto these questions. You can use them in Bible study. This can help you dig into Scripture a little bit better and maybe understand it more. So Genesis 21, the first section, 1 through 7. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Isaac's name means laughter. And she added, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. All right, so the baby finally came. The child, the promised child, finally came. Guys, from the beginning of Abraham's story, it's been 10 chapters. 10 chapters of Genesis from when God said, I'm going to give you a child, to when he finally gave them the child. 25 years. That's a long time to wait. The baby's finally here. So we finally get to this. You can almost feel this deep sigh in this section. God kept his promise. They doubted a couple times along the way. There was no tracking number on this package called Isaac, but the package made it at just the right time. So the three questions, what do we learn about God in this section? Well, what I see about God is faithful. God is faithful even when it seems like he's not, right? Like the roller coaster making a slow clackety-clack climb up to the pinnacle. Right? Sometimes it feels like you're never going to get to the top. It's going so slow and it's clacking and clacking and just keeps going. Like, when are we going to get to the top? Have you ever felt forgotten by God? Like his faithfulness applies to everybody else, but just not you? Dietrich Bonhoeffer might have felt that way. Locked up in a German prison camp because he dared to preach in his church against the Nazi regime. He went to prison for his courage to stand against evil. He went to prison. And what was the happy ending for Dietrich Bonhoeffer?
You know his story? What was the end? Well, the end was he got to meet Jesus face to face. Weeks before Germany surrendered to Allied forces, he was hanged because of his association with an assassination. Pastor Bonhoeffer, assassin and faithful servant of God. Those ideas don't usually go together, but they did here. Was Bonhoeffer forgotten by God? Was God punishing him for this assassination plot? No. He played a really important role in God's kingdom. He helped the church in Germany to stand against evil. And, guys, his courage and conviction to face evil head on immortalized him. His story continues to inspire and give courage to other people like me. Bonhoeffer's one of my heroes. He's one of my heroes. You want to read his story, you can check out his book. This is Eric Metaxas Bonhoeffer, pastor, martyr, prophet, spy. God is faithful even when it seems like he's not. Abraham and Sarah, they're in a different spot. It's finally going the right way for them. Things are going well. God kept his promise, except for one little tiny thing, the fact that they got to raise a little baby now. They're 190 years old, and they got to raise a baby from scratch. They're old. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a hiccup for them, but God has been faithful. So how can we see God's faithfulness in this passage, in this section? God kept his word. God kept his word. He said he was going to do it. Doubt, he did it. Right? And this right here almost feels like this happily ever after moment. They've got the baby. They circumcise him just as God had said to do. And I can just picture them right now sitting in rocking chairs around a campfire. Just kind of chuckling softly that they have this baby now. Like, oh, the baby's here. The baby's here in awe of what God has done. God has been faithful. So third question, how does this relate to life today? I think this is a story that reminds us to hang in there. Hang in there. God is still at work. God is still at work. Where you're at right now, you might not be at that deep sigh of contentment. You might not feel like you're in a rocking chair around a campfire right now. Do you know how long it took Abraham to get there? How long? Depends on how you gauge it. From the time he was born, it's been 100 years. From the time of the promise, it's been 25. It took a long time to get there. So we got to be patient with God. He's working in his timing. We got to keep trusting, keep waiting, keep following. God is faithful in every generation. So what's going on in your world? Well, you need to trust him. You need to lock in. Okay, God, I'm trusting you with this. That doesn't mean you're telling him what to do about it. You could ask him what to do about it, but you can't tell him what to do. You're trusting him, knowing that he's still working and he's faithful. So back to the roller coaster. If you were to describe your life as a roller coaster, what part of that ride are you on right now? How would you describe that? I asked Anne that question, and I liked her answer. She kind of laughed thoughtfully before answering. And finally she said, you know, I feel like we're kind of in that middle part where we did the long climb. We've gone down and done some loop-de-loops and squirrels and all that stuff and made it through some crazy. And now we're kind of at that calm part in the middle, but I don't think it's over yet. There's probably another loop. There's probably another drop. There's probably more coming. But we made it through a bunch. And I think that's a really great description of where we're at, where Ann and I are at right now as a family, and maybe kind of where we're at as a church right now too. But not everybody's at the same spot. Some of you are just getting started on this roller coaster. You're just clacking. You don't know what's over that hill. And some of you are like upside down in the loop right now, and it just feels crazy. You're on the coaster. And we're all at different spots, and that's okay. Some of you just keep going higher and higher and starting to make you nervous, starting to make you nauseous a little bit. I don't know what's going to happen. We're at different spots, but for all of us, God is faithful. He's faithful. And if our trust is in him, he's got us. Right? He's got us. There's kind of a conclusion here in this first section for Abraham and Sarah. They've got the baby. Maybe you're not ready to do that sighing just yet. That's okay. Let's go to the second section, part two. This is three sermons for one today, okay? So you decide what you want to do with the offering box. I'm just kidding. Genesis 21, verse 8. Okay, what do we got now? After this deep sigh, rocking away at the campfire. Verse 8, the child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking, and she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. Sounds like a great Thanksgiving time together, right? Verse 11, the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Okay, so here we've got a family get-together, a big celebration. It didn't go quite right. So much for our happily ever after. Isaac is about 2 or 3 years old. Sarah has weaned him. They have this big party, which is not uncommon because infant mortality was really high back then. So if you made it to this point, you probably made it through that part. So they have a feast. Makes sense. It's a happy day, but not everyone is happy. Looks like Ishmael, who was a young teen by then, is a little bit jealous of all the attention. So he's mocking the toddler at his own party. Family conflict. You don't know anything about that, but they're having family conflict, right? And this is another deja vu moment. Something very similar to this has happened before, right? When Ishmael was a baby, same sort of thing happened between Sarah and Hagar. Problem, she gets sent out into the wilderness, and then God sends her back. This time, God speaks to Abraham about the situation and tells Abraham, you know what? This time it's going to be for real. This time it's going to be permanent. Do what Sarah says. They send Hagar and Ishmael away, out into the wilderness. Just seems wrong, right? But God says, you do this. You need to do this. It's an ugly scene, but their faithless choices of the past have consequences, and they're feeling them right now. And right now, they're causing some serious pain in the present. Abraham is distressed. And yet, God is going to be faithful here, too. God is going to be faithful here, too. So, the questions. What do we learn about God? This section, I'd suggest we learn that life is bumpy, even in God's faithfulness. Life is bumpy. Expect the bumps. God doesn't take the bumps away from us. This is one of those corkscrew sections for Abraham and Sarah's roller coaster. But guys, even more so for Hagar and Ishmael, right? They're the ones sent off into the wilderness. Life gets pretty uncertain for them. They're free falling. And there's no sheets to stop at. They're in the desert. So how do we see God's faithfulness here? How do we see God's faithfulness? God's faithful to Abraham, for sure. He's talking to him, telling him what to do. I got this. But God's also faithful to Hagar and to Ishmael. And that's important. I love how basically God says, I'm gonna take care of Ishmael. I've got it. Go ahead, do what Sarah says. I will take care of Ishmael and Hagar. So this is a sad time in the family of Abraham. I mean, the family is splitting up at this point because the tension between the two families isn't going away. But at this point in the story, God calls Abraham, you need to focus on Isaac right now. You need to focus on Isaac. That's your job. But as he gives that command to Abraham, God says, I've got Ishmael. I will take care of Ishmael. Let him go. I've got it. And that's what we see God do. We see God's faithfulness. Abraham is not happy to do this. He doesn't want to do this. It distresses him greatly, but he does what God tells him to do. He trusts God with this part of his family, and Hagar and Ishmael go out in the desert, and soon they run out of water. Hagar believes they're both going to die. That's the point they're at. We are both going to die. So she leaves Ishmael under a bush about a football field away so she can't hear him. He doesn't know what to do. Just leaves him under a bush. It just hurts too much to see your baby suffer. But look at verse 17. God heard the boy crying. God heard the boy crying. You remember what the name Ishmael means? God hears. God heard Ishmael. God is faithful to Ishmael, to Hagar. He does not abandon them. He himself takes over this fatherly role for Ishmael. He provides water for them. And then you look at verse 20. It says, God was with the boy as he grew up. It's not a one-time thing. This is a long-term commitment. I've got him his whole life. I will watch over him. And Ishmael did indeed grow into a great nation. Not just his life, but the generations beyond. God kept his promise. It was a crazy ride, but God brought them through. So how does that relate to life today? I would suggest this second section is about the parts of life that we really don't like. I talked to a couple of you who don't like roller coasters. And you're on one. Your life is a roller coaster. I'm sorry, but it is. This is about the parts of life we really don't like. When you feel like you're doing those loop-de-loops you never signed up for, I didn't even ask to get on this ride. You ever feel like that? You just want to get off? Let's do a different ride. You ever seen little kids all excited to go on a big kid ride? They're just barely tall enough, or not quite, and they get on, and they start screaming immediately, stop the ride, stop the ride, I want to get off, right? I've definitely seen that. I'm big enough. No, you're not big enough. You're not big enough. Sometimes we feel like that in life. We can't get off the ride. We're not supposed to get off the ride. Don't try to get off the ride. But we feel like, I didn't sign up for this. I don't want this. I remember there was a roller coaster, I think it was Busch Gardens in Florida, where the vertical drop on this thing, after you do a lot of clackety-clack, it's like straight down. And it's so steep, it feels like you're inverted. It's not even straight down. It's more than straight down. You ever done a drop like that? I did a drop like that. Did I scream and say, I want to get off? No, I said, I want to do that again. I want to do that again. But when life feels like that coaster, it's a different story, isn't it? There's consequences to this. I don't know what's going to happen at the bottom. I know a roller coaster, 50,000 other people have been on it, and it goes zoop, and you're okay. When you're dropping free fall in life, you don't know what's going to happen at the end. You think there's going to be a splat. But you're on a roller coaster, and God is the engineer of your roller coaster. So, yeah, that was a crazy coaster. It was way better than the one back in Vermont on the roads that I did. But that sometimes we want to get off. Sometimes we don't like the spot that we're on in life, where God has us. Abraham was not counting on his family imploding at this point. He didn't know that was going to happen. Verse 11 says the matter distressed him greatly. And yet it was part of God's bigger plan. So how does this relate to life today? We got to understand this about God. Even what feels like backward movement is forward motion in God's plan. Even what feels like backward movement is forward motion in God's plan. You know how they say 3 steps forward and 2 steps back, right? That's what they say, and that's how life feels. With God, you know what? It's 5 steps forward. Even the ones that feel like backward. It's 5 steps forward, 5 steps forward, 5 steps forward, 5 steps forward. All the loops, all the corkscrews, all the drops, all the stomach lurching, it's all part of God's plan, moving you closer and closer to the end goal. And what's the end goal? I suggest 2 things. It's Christ-likeness and God's presence. The transformation of my character. He uses loops to do that, to transform me into the person he wants to make me. But I'm also on this journey, and I'm moving forward to that place where I'm going to be in his presence. We're in his presence right now, but only sort of. We're going to be in his presence. It's going to be different. It's going to be different. So life is bumpy. God is faithful. And I just have to kind of bring up this side note. This came to mind. I'm studying this section, and Abraham lost a teenage son that day. And I'm guessing a woman that he cared for. Kind of make more of a big deal about this teenage son, but as far as we can tell, he had very little contact with him after that. We can, if you go to where Abraham dies, Ishmael is there. So it's not completely gone. But he basically lost a son that day. And I know some of you guys have lost connection with your kids. That hurts. And it's for a different variety of reasons. You may be at different levels. Some of your kids, maybe they don't talk to you right now. Maybe they can't talk to you. Maybe they won't talk to you. But you're in this distance. Maybe they're not even able to talk to you because they're not even on this planet anymore. And when you're separated from your kids, it's hard. That's a pain that doesn't go away. But guys, we see something here about God that might encourage you. We see a God who chose to father Abraham's estranged child. I will take care of him. God himself watched over Ishmael when Abraham couldn't. And I'm not trying to say we can simply claim this direct one-for-one promise that if you're out of touch with any of your kids, God's going to make sure nothing bad ever happens to them. I'm not saying that. That's not something we can do. But here's what we can do. We can entrust our kids to God. If they're out of our hands, in whatever kind of way, we can entrust them to a faithful Father. And we can ask him to take care of our kids the way we would want to take care of them. You can bring your kids before God every single day. There's no estrangement between you and God. You can bring them to the Father again and again, continually. And if and when that day comes when you get to be part of their life again, you'll be ready. Because you've been talking to God about this all along. And that may very well happen. So jump on that when it does. But in the meantime, just keep entrusting them to God. God, I give them to you. You know how much I love them. And I know you love them just as much as I do. So take care of them. Would you please do that? And I know that directly relates to a handful of people who are here. But I believe it indirectly relates to a lot of us. It's not just our children. There are relationships that are not what we want them to be. And we can do this with those two. God, I entrust this to you. It's out of my control. But God, you're faithful. You're good. I'm going to trust you. God's faithful even when it seems like he's not. Life's bumpy even in God's faithfulness. None of us escape the bumps. None of us escape the bumps. And guys, the enemy has a really sneaky way of convincing us that we're all alone in this, that nobody else is dealing with this. Nobody else is struggling like this, but that's not true. It's not true. Other people are struggling just like you are. So let's not isolate about these things. Let's do this together. Let's do this together. Let's look at the third section. Genesis 21, 22 to 34. These sections are very different from each other, but it's all one chapter and it's all one story. Verse 22, at that time Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, said to Abraham, God is with you in everything you do. Now swear to me here before God that you will not deal falsely with me or my children or my descendants. Show to me in the country where you're living as an alien the same kindness I've shown to you. Abraham said, I swear it. Then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, I don't know who has done this. You didn't tell me, and I heard about it only today. So Abraham brought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a treaty. Abraham set apart 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs you've set apart by themselves? He replied, accept these 7 lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug this well. So that place was called Beersheba, which means the well of 7 or the well of the oath, Beersheba, because the two men swore an oath there. And after the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called upon the name of the Lord, the eternal God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. All right, so part 3, Abimelech shows up, makes another appearance, the same king who Abraham had lied to about his sister wife. Remember? She's my sister, but that's the same Abimelech. So Abimelech is still on the scene, he's still in the area, and he notices God is blessing Abraham in a significant way. So he approaches Abraham to make a peace treaty. Abimelech says, swear to me that you won't deal falsely with me or my people. Let's make peace. Why does he say it that way? Because Abraham has dealt falsely with him. Abraham has been deceptive. And yet this king can see God is with him. I want to be on his side. I can't trust him, but God is with him. So one of the things this is showing us is Abraham and his people are growing in significance. A king doesn't try to make peace with just an average guy. A king tries to make peace with another king. His influence is growing, right? The other thing that we see here is Abraham is starting to send down his roots. Literally, he plants a tree. He plants a tree in Beersheba. He calls on the Lord and stays in that spot a long time. So he's finally settling into a spot. He's not as much of a nomad now. So I'm guessing he probably built a dwelling. Pack up the tent. Let's live somewhere for a while. And now he's in the land that one day would be called the Promised Land. So what do we learn about God? God's plan is moving forward. It's moving forward. The promises are coming true. And it might take a really, really long time, but it's happening. And how do we see God's faithfulness? In this section, I'd suggest the treaty and the tree. Both of those things. The treaty shows Abraham and his people are growing in influence and power. The tree shows us Abraham is moving from nomad to settler. And one day, all of this land is going to belong to him and his family. He's settling in. So now how does that relate to life? Well, just because life is bumpy doesn't mean God's forgotten me. He knows what's going on. God's faithfulness in our lives is like a roller coaster. Just expect that. Expect the roller coaster. You may not like all the parts of the ride. That's okay. You don't have to like it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I'm guessing he didn't set out to be a pastor so he could one day be part of an assassination plot. That's not why you become a pastor and get himself executed. Goals and dreams for my future. No. No, he had no idea that crazy free fall was coming, but his trust was in God, and his trust stayed in God, and he stayed on the rails as God took him on this crazy ride through persecution, prison, and death. But guess what? When his coaster came to rest, he was home. He was home. And guys, I don't know what is coming up in your roller coaster because everyone is different. God's an engineer. He keeps making more. You're not on the same one as anybody else. It's yours. God doesn't do cookie cutter roller coasters. Everyone is unique. And maybe to kind of play with this analogy a little bit, we do make some of those corkscrews ourselves, amen? We make some of those loop-de-loops we didn't have to do, but you know what? It doesn't throw God off. You're like, oh no, what are we going to do now? He doesn't ever do that. But yeah, okay. I'll ride that with you too. I'm with you. We do things, guys. We do things. It creates more. But God will work with it. If you're a child of God through faith in Jesus, if that's you, you are still on the rails, no matter how upside down crazy it might feel. You're still on the rails. So keep walking with God. Keep trusting. Don't bail out, because your coaster is secure. It's designed by God uniquely for you. Now, those of you who like roller coasters, how many of you like roller coasters? All right, maybe half. Do you think you'd look at roller coasters differently if once a week your favorite roller coaster went off the rails and everybody died? No. Would you ride that roller coaster? 52 times a year it's in the newspaper. I mean, your odds are still with you only once a week. I mean, it's hundreds of times that it doesn't go off the rails. I would not get on that roller coaster. I would not get on the Stratosphere if I knew once every 500 times it's going to splat me on the pavement. Not doing it. I'm not doing it. I enjoy those extreme coasters because I know that they're safe. I like the thrill of it, but I also know I'm going to land at the end. I'll be okay. Guys, it's the same way with God. Let me just suggest this to you. Your capacity to enjoy and appreciate the ride increases dramatically with your level of trust in the engineer of your coaster. If you think you're going to splat, you're going to be terrified all the time. Your capacity to enjoy and appreciate the ride increases dramatically with your level of trust in the engineer of your coaster. Does that make sense? Can you trust God right now? Even if you feel like you're upside down? Can you trust God right now? Wherever you are on that coaster, that He is good and that His plan for you is good. He didn't halfway create a coaster. You're going to fly into a crevice somewhere. He's got a whole coaster for you, a whole life planned out. And it includes pain. Is that okay with you? I was reminded of a passage I just need to bring up as we kind of wrap up here. This is Hebrews. We also have to expect this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. Sons and daughters, but sons have inheritance rights. So whether you're male or female, He's treating you as sons with inheritance rights. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. I love that harvest analogy. It takes time, and it's painful, and it takes hard work. But this harvest is a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been under the loving hand of a Father who will bring discipline to us because He loves us. Your coaster includes pain, and that's on purpose. Guys, God was faithful to Abraham in Genesis chapter 21. He absolutely was. He is faithful to us in 2025. He's still faithful. Same God. So what do we see in Genesis 21? We see God is faithful, even when it seems like He's not. He's not lost control. We see life is bumpy, even in God's faithfulness. Coasters have loops and drops as part of the deal. And we also see God's plan is moving forward. He's not going to drop you. His plan is moving forward. So what is your next step with God? As you think about Abraham's story, these three parts, it might be good to kind of go back into it because we kind of didn't get to dig all the way into it. Maybe you want to go back to Genesis 21 and go through those three questions again. You'll get more out of it. Go back there. Look at God's faithfulness. And if you didn't take good notes today, go back to the YouTube and you can watch it again. But Genesis 21, soak in that for a while. And maybe these thoughts or questions will be helpful for you. If I were to describe my life as a roller coaster, how would I describe what part of the ride I'm on right now? How would you answer that? And can I honestly say I'm fully trusting God with the roller coaster of my life? I'm trusting Him. We're all at different spots in that. Do you have confidence that God is the engineer behind your coaster? And that's what I'm getting at. Have you placed your confidence in Jesus? Have you placed your trust in Jesus as your forgiver and as your coach and as your captain? Are you trusting Jesus in that? And what kind of difference is that making how you approach the next loop, the next drop, the next unknown? Just take a minute right now between you and God, and maybe you want to take this chapter a little further this week. But take some time right now to think about your next step.
Pray together. God, you know where we're at. You know how we feel about the ride we're on right now, about how life is going right now. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us just go a little bit deeper in our confidence in the engineer. God, you know what you're doing. And you can adjust with us when we make the wrong mistakes, wrong choices. God, your grace is sufficient. So Lord, deepen our trust in you, that we can enjoy the journey, learn from it, benefit from it, and grow stronger through it. Thank you for the plans you have, which are good. Your plans are good. Your dreams are better for us than we could possibly imagine. So help us release our grip. Trust the engineer. In Jesus' name. So the last song we're going to sing comes out of the book of Numbers. It's called the High Priestly Blessing. And I want to just share it with you. This is from the Old Testament where the priest would speak this to the people of Israel. And this is God's instruction. He said, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So we're going to sing that blessing. And as you sing it, think about this is God's heart for you, his face shining on you. That's his smile. That's the shine. It's a smile. So let's sing, Lord bless you.
Turn his face toward you.
Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns his face toward you and give you peace. His face shine upon you. Be gracious to you, the Lord turning His face toward you and give you peace. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.
Amen. You know what the word amen means? So be it. May it be so. This blessing. God is faithful. He is faithful. This is still His heart for His people. God, we praise You. We thank You. We love You. We trust You. We worship You. We will follow You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat.
Just a couple of things to remind you about. Home groups are on a break now, so don't go to home group this week because nobody will be there. We will have signups shortly, though, so for the next session that starts in January. So you can be on the lookout for that. This coming Saturday, we have the Saucony Cross Christmas Party. I just checked the sign-up. There's still minor gaps, so if you were planning to come or haven't signed up yet, do so this week. If you want more details, you can talk to me or Aaron. We've been doing it a while and know what might be needed. And then we also have our Cornerstone Christmas party on Sunday the 14th from 4 to 7. That'll be right here. We'll have some tables set up. We're just going to do some board games, card games, whatever you might like. And then I said this last week, and not one middle schooler said anything from 6 to 7. We're going to have, still nothing, very impressed. We're going to have a time to share of God's testimonies and what God has done in the past year. There's a question up here, and it's in your bulletin if you want to take a closer look at the question and be thinking about if you'd like to share anything during that time. So we're looking forward to gathering to celebrate Christmas together, and that's all I have for today. Enjoy this little bit of snow that looks so pretty. And snack and fellowship downstairs. Thanks.